I remember a church member when I was pastor here that said to me that she had heard the deacon's sermon every year for so many years she could probably preach the sermon, but I never would call Regina by name. That she's the one that said that, but it is the church's guideline or policy or whatever that on the last Sunday of June that the pastor preach a sermon on the qualifications of a deacon and what it means to be a deacon. And so that's what I'm doing this morning as we are preparing for the deacon selection on July the 19th. It's important that we understand what we're doing. This is not a process of selecting our best friend. It's not a process of just looking around and seeing who's here that Sunday and say, oh, I think that'll be a good person to write down. That's not it. And so we need to think about what God's Word tells us about this. There's a preacher's joke that maybe isn't funny, it's not true, or at least most of the time it's not true. It's been said, they ask what's the difference between preachers and deacons. The answer, preachers are paid for being good and deacons are good for nothing. Neither statement is true. Some of you will catch that later. Preachers are not paid for being good and deacons are not good for nothing. They are excellent men if they're true deacons. So what is the difference between preachers and deacons? According to God's Word, they almost have the same qualifications and much of the same responsibilities. Now, I have been known to tease the deacons just a tiny bit in my ministry. But I have been blessed with wonderful relationships with the deacons here, and I appreciate that. It would be my hope and prayer that your next pastor will have a wonderful relationship with the deacons. Now, you notice I said, your next pastor. I've entitled this sermon, The Deacon Your Next Pastor Desires. And you say, well, preacher, we don't know who our next pastor is going to be. I know. We don't know. God does know. But I assure you, if you call him, this is the kind of man that he's going to want to serve alongside of him. So, the deacon your next pastor desires. The deacon your pastor desires will understand and live out the meaning of the title deacon. What is that title? Deacon, deaconos, which means servant. Literally, it means slave. When you come to the root of the word, it means kicking up dust, showing that he works so hard that he kicks up dust getting things done. He's busy doing God's work. He's a servant. He's working hard. He's not just kicking up sand. He's not causing problems. When a deacon acts like a servant, he will be a wonderful, honorable, and valuable person to have at your church. When he feels like he's important, when he feels like he's a controller, when he feels like he needs to be in charge, then you have a problem. In fact, I would say that he ceases to be a deacon. He may have the title. He may be elected. But if he's trying to control, then he's not the kind of servant that God would want him to be. The deacon your next pastor desires will be a man who appreciates and adopts daily the Spirit-filled life. The first deacons, even though they weren't called deacons in Acts chapter 6, but in Acts 6:5 it says, this proposal pleased the whole company, so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And I would say we still need to choose men who are full of faith and the Holy Spirit. First of all, they have to know Jesus Christ as their own Lord and Savior. You say, well, preacher, that would be understood. And yes, it ought to be. But unfortunately, there's been times when deacons later came to know Christ as the Lord and Savior. I actually pastored a church one time when a man called me up and I talked with him. I went to his home, sat down and talked with him. And he had already been a deacon, not when I was there, but he had served many terms as a deacon. And when we got through talking, he prayed to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior because he realized he was not a man full of faith. He had not received Christ. He had grown up in the church. He had been a church member, but he had not trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And so if you're going to be a deacon and you're going to be full of faith and the Holy Spirit, it begins with having a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, that you have confessed your sins, that you have asked Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life. And it says, full of the Holy Spirit. This is a man that is seeking to follow God's directions each and every day in all aspects of his life. Full of the Holy Spirit, seeking to grow and be the man that God would have him to be. Ephesians 5:18 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. This command is for every Christian to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is imperative for pastors, and it's imperative for deacons to be walking as children of light, seeking to honor and glorify God in everything that the deacon does. So you want a deacon, your next pastor will desire a man that is a man of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Your deacon, your next pastor desires, will be a practitioner and promoter of the vital ministries of the church. He may be also one that can catch the sermon notes as they fly off the pulpit. Needs to be in God's Word, needs to be a part of the Sunday school ministry of this church. Now, I know where things are different right now. We all understand things are different. But there will be a time, we hope, in the near future when we will resume a more normal schedule. But a deacon ought to be involved in Bible study. And so we want deacons, and your next pastor will want a person that is an enthusiastic attender, maybe an enthusiastic teacher of God's Word on Sunday morning. Your next pastor will desire a person that is a prayer warrior. That's a vital ministry of this church and every church, that we pray one for another, that we're a people of prayer. We're not just talking about prayer, but we're practicing prayer. And so your next pastor will want somebody that sees that as a vital part of the ministry of the church and will lead out in prayer. Another vital ministry that you're going to want to look at and see that the deacons are involved is in evangelism and missions. As we know that there are lost people in this community, there's lost people in our households, and there's lost people at work, there's lost people at school, that we have a passion for getting the gospel to them and be a part of the mission life of this church. As I mentioned earlier today, we have a reputation, we have a history, we have a heritage of missions here at this church. As we have had people that are called out to go to missions, we are givers of missions, and we go on mission trips. We want somebody that's a deacon, and your next pastor is going to want a deacon that supports the missions heart of this church, and it's not contrary to that. You also want a deacon, and your next pastor is going to desire a deacon that is a faithful giver to the church, that faithfully supports this church financially. Now, for me, and by the way, I can't just say that this is an absolute that I can prove by Scripture, so I don't bother in trying to make that case. I'm a tither. I give more than a tithe. And I've started that when I was a teenager. Actually, I probably started it before I was even making money, as I was giving money, and can have continued and will continue to the day I die. Because I feel like that's one of the ways that I'm supposed to worship the Lord. And so you want to have deacons that faithfully give to this church, that support the ministries of this church. You say, well, preacher, everybody ought to be doing that. And I'd say, yes, everybody ought to. You know, unfortunately, I've been at this long enough that I know that unfortunately I have found that pastors don't always tithe. I have found that staff people don't always tithe. By the way, they do here. Okay, so I don't want you to misunderstand anything. I know that when I sat down with Tina, I almost said Charlene, but with Tina as well as with Shane, and we were having conversations with them, that was a very point-blank question that was asked to them. And it would have ended the conversation if the answer had been no. And so we want to make sure that you have people that are faithfully giving to the ministries of this church and faithful to the life and the services that we have here at Hills Chapel. Your next pastor wants to have men that he can count on, that they're going to be here. This church doesn't have this. It's not built in. I think it's probably expected. But I served one church that they had a requirement that the deacons, to be considered, had to attend at least two-thirds of all the times that we were open. And if that meant Sunday school, that meant morning worship, that meant Sunday night if we had it, it meant Wednesday night. And I remember one time in a deacon's meeting, I had already heard that this was coming up, and one of the deacons brought up, well, do you think we ought to take a look at this and see if we ought to reconsider it? And I quickly spoke up, and I said, well, I tell you what, to raise it much higher might create a problem. And they kind of, I don't know that we ought to raise it, preacher. And, I knew he wanted to go lower, and I didn't want it to go lower. And so, but you want to have people that are faithfully attending and part of the ministries of this church. I've not had this, honestly. I have heard of pastors telling stories that the only time they saw their deacons were at deacons' meetings. And I said, no, I wouldn't put up with that. And you ought not to put up with it, is what I'm trying to say. You want people that are faithful in their attendance, and your next pastor does. The deacon your next pastor desires will be a man who is godly in all of his relationships. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, deacons likewise should be worthy of respect, not hypocritical, not drinking a lot of wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. They must also be tested first. If they prove blameless, then they can serve as deacons. Wives likewise should be worthy of respect, not slanderous, self-controlled, faithful in everything. Deacons are to be husbands of one wife, managing their children and their households competently. For those who have served well as deacons acquire good standing for themselves and great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Your next pastor wants to have men that people respect. It says in verse 8, worthy of respect. You want to have deacons, and your next pastor wants to have deacons that when it says that this is a deacon of Hills Chapel Baptist Church, nobody drops their head. Nobody starts shaking their head. Yeah, I knew that man was different. I should have known he was a deacon because of the way he's living out his life. Not hypocritical, it says in verse 8, that his yes is yes, his no is no. You don't have to worry about whether he's at the ball field or whether he's at work or whether he's at church. He's going to be the same. You can count on him. He's faithful. He is who he says he is. And he's a man of God. He is not hypocritical. You don't see him one way in one location, another way somewhere else. It also says not drinking much wine. Now, this is, again, one of those things that I probably go beyond because I don't drink a drop of alcohol. Don't have any intentions of drinking a drop. Did you hear that, Chuck? Okay, I just want to make sure. Okay. I think the best practice, and it's not, you can't prove it from the Bible. I'll go ahead and acknowledge that. I think the best practice is no drinking from the deacons. I think that's the best practice. I think that's the, if you say, well, preacher, that's higher than the Bible. I said, well, yes, I'll even acknowledge that. It's not a biblical requirement, but I think it's a practical admonishment for each one of us. And so I would say that certainly it's a person that, if he is drinking at all, it needs to be in moderation. It always needs to be under control. But again, my preference is no alcohol whatsoever. He is, again, a person of faith, as it talks about, holds to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. He knows what he believes. He's standing up for what he believes. He also has the proper relationships in his home. He rules his family. He works with his family. He has the right kind of relationship with his wife. He has the right kind of relationship with his children. And it also says that the deacon's wife has responsibility as well. I recognize that we here at Hell's Chapel, we only have male deacons. And so, but when we look at this and we see that it talks about his wife, it's talking about how she ought to live. We're not voting on the women and on the wives. I understand that. But at the same time, she has a responsibility. You can't have a wife that's tearing down the ministry of the church. You can't have a wife that is, what it says here, slanderous towards the other. But rather needs to be a woman that is respected by others if she's going to be the wife of a deacon. Also needs to have his business in order. It says not greedy. It's okay to make money. But we need to make sure we make our money the right way. We need to make sure we make it in an honorable way. We need to make sure that, once again, when we make our business deals, the people know we're fair to them. By the way, everybody's got to make money, so don't worry about that. But at the same time, we want to be fair in our business dealings. You want to have men that are the deacons of your church, that people look at them and say, he's going to give you a fair deal. He's going to treat you right. You don't have to worry about that. You can count on what he tells you if he tells you something. And we want to have deacons that manage themselves well in deacons' meetings. I can once again say, based upon my 4 years as pastor of this church, and I think I've already been here 7.5 months as interim pastor, that our deacons handle themselves well in deacons' meetings. But you want men that will handle themselves well, that will speak truth, that will speak their opinions if there's things that we're discussing. But at the end of the day, you want men that are going to agree to work together. You know, you may not always get everything you want. You may not always agree with everything that's decided. I'll go ahead and tell you, there's been things that we've decided here at Hell's Chapel that wouldn't have been my personal decision. And guess what? I live with it. It's okay. And so as deacons, you want men that can agree and most everything, but when there's a disagreement, we agree to disagree and move on, and we're going to handle ourselves like Christians and work well together. And again, I've had that kind of relationship with the deacons here at the church, and I appreciate that. But you want to make sure you continue to elect people so that your next pastor will have deacons that handle themselves well in the deacon's meeting. The deacon your next pastor desires will be a man who has a great vision for the future of this church. I think that means several things. One, it means that he should be a risk taker, not a caretaker. We're not here to go out of business. We're not here so that we can just decline and shut the doors one day. No, we're not here just trying to take care of the property. We want to take care of the property. Don't misunderstand that. But what we want to do is be about God's work. And sometimes that means, many times it ought to mean stepping out on faith, being risk takers, willing to do something different for God. He won't be afraid to spend money if it accomplishes what God's will is for the church. He will be an agent of change, not a caretaker and a keeper of the status quo. If you just want to maintain the status quo, you will die. That's every church. You aren't here to maintain the status quo. You are here to see change come about. Change in the church, change in the community, change in people's lives. And so we have to be willing to take some risks. I think it's important that the deacons are willing to work with the pastor for growth, not for control or for maintenance. Many of our Baptist churches are being killed by simply trying to keep rules and regulations rather than being led by the Holy Spirit. I worked with a leader at the IMB one day that he told me, as I was in leadership, and he was kind of a level above me, and he told me, he said, "Al, you need to know the policy manual. You need to know what's in it because you got to help enforce it. You got to interpret things. You got to be able to tell people what they can do and sometimes what they can't do." He said, "But there's also a time that you leave the policy manual on the shelf and make sure you're remembering relationships." And so I would say that you want to know your guidelines. You want to know your constitutions. You want to follow those. But you want to also make sure you're following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And if something's in a bylaw in the Constitution that you go, well, then we just don't think that's right. Guess what you ought to do? Change it. That's simple. But we need to make sure that we're following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The deacon your next pastor desires will be a man who fulfills his biblical responsibilities. Once again, in Acts chapter 6, and in those days, as the disciples were increasing in number, there arose a complaint. Have you ever heard of a complaint in a Baptist church, though? Anybody? Maybe. There was a complaint by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews that their widows were being overlooked by daily distribution. The 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples and said, "Would it not be right for us to give up preaching the word of God to wait on tables? Brothers and sisters, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the wisdom of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we can appoint for this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole company. And so then they selected the people, and I've already read verse 5. We'll skip over the names so I don't mispronounce them. And then in verse 6, they had them stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly in number, and a large group of priests became obedient to the faith. The deacon your next pastor desires will be a person that meets the needs of the congregation. Serving as a deacon is not about recognition. It's not about getting your way. It's about meeting the needs of the congregation. They had a complaint. They had a problem. And the deacons were selected to take care of the problem, to meet the needs. They had some physical needs. I have seen the deacons of this church meet many different physical needs when I was a pastor here. Of meeting needs, of finding out somebody that had a physical need. Sometimes it might have been because of their health. Sometimes it might have been something they needed done on a piece of property. And the deacons went out and they took care of that need. They were servants. You want to make sure you have men that are committed to meet the needs of the congregation. But notice also what they were doing here. They had the group that was the Hellenistic Jews, and then you have the Hebraic Jews. Now, folks, let's just be honest. You have groups in the church. If anybody doesn't think there's kind of subgroups in the church, they're just not being honest. We all love one another. We care for one another. But reality is, there's some people you're closer to than others. And so here you have this group of people. You had two different groups, and they had a conflict of how things were going to be handled. And one group thought they were getting more than one group thought they were getting less than what the other group was getting. And they're wanting some equality here. And the deacons were selected to protect the unity of the church. There will be disagreements in the church. There will be problems in the church. I would be shocked if your next pastor comes here and never faces any disagreements. He would be too, by the way. But how do you handle those disagreements? If you have a disagreement with your next pastor, let me encourage you to go to him and talk to him. I'd encourage you to go to him individually first. If that doesn't rectify it, then have somebody else with you. If that doesn't rectify it, bring it to the whole group of deacons until it does get rectified. Pastors are not to be dictators, but servants. However, deacons are not to be dictators either, but servants. God's word is infallible and inerrant. Pastors are not infallible or inerrant. Deacons are not infallible or inerrant. And if we can both remember that none of us are perfect, that we're trying to work through these things together and can have servant spirits about ourselves, then we can work through our differences. But let's make sure we do it in a biblical way. The deacons are about unity in the church. What were they being selected for? To give the pastor time to do his work of studying God's Word and preparing to bring it to the people. Never forget that the office of deacon was instituted by the early church to relieve the apostles of taking care of so many other needs, so that the pastor had time to prepare and be ready to bring a word. That doesn't mean he's not a servant. If you have a pastor who doesn't see himself as a servant, you got a problem. But if you have deacons that aren't servants, you have a problem. People have asked me through the years how I was able to be a seminary professor and dean and pastor church all at the same time. And I have told them I was blessed to have some fantastic deacons. I've been blessed to have men that I could call on and say, could you do so and so? And know that it would get done. Knowing that I didn't have to do everything. That I had men that I could count on. Men that were protecting my schedule. Men that were working with me. The deacon your next pastor desires will be a man who will have a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission. The great commission is very familiar. Maybe you aren't thinking of the great commandment right now, but Matthew 22, verse 37, he said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. See, if we make that our focus, if we hear that as the great commandment, that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and that is the commitment that the deacon has, his personal priorities will take a back seat. His personal agendas will take a back seat. Because you're only looking for one agenda. And it's not the deacon's agenda. It's not the pastor's agenda. It's God's agenda. And you can find that working together in unity together. And then the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I commanded you. Remember, and with you always to the end of the age. As I've already said, a deacon ought to be committed to missions and evangelism. So we need to be committed to the Great Commission. Our God has a heart for the nations. Our God has a heart to see new churches planted. Our God has a heart to see the people of this community reached with the gospel. So we need deacons that have a heart, that same heart, that heart that is following after the great commandment, but then their lives are following after that great commission to make disciples of all nations, including right here in our community. A great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will make a great church. The pastor and deacons must set an example before the people will do so as well. Now what happens when the deacon serves as he ought to serve? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 that we read earlier, it says that he will be greatly rewarded. He will be honored. He will please him. And it will, again, he will be recognized, not because he was seeking that honor, but because he lived it out. You know, I've done a lot of funerals through the years. And it is so good to do a funeral for a person who lived it out. Because you didn't have to do anything. You just got up there and shared. You shared how they lived for the Lord. Their life had already preached their funeral message. And that's what it says, that he will be greatly respected. Not because he wanted to be honored, but because he's being honored because he was found faithful. The Life Application Bible says, all believers, even if they never plan to be church leaders, should strive to follow these guidelines because they are consistent with what God says is true and right. The strength to live according to God's will comes from living in Christ. You know, the Marines, we've all heard that saying, they're looking for a few good men. Not everyone qualifies for the highly disciplined, well-respected company of soldiers who have often led the way in battle. Recruits must survive a series of grueling physical and mental tests before becoming full-fledged Marines. Christ is looking for a few good men to serve His church and to model the godly attitudes and actions that should mark all mature Christians. But today we are focusing on the deacons. He is selective about who should guide His troops in the spiritual battle. The qualifications are extensive because they're essential to the spiritual health of the congregation. The call to be a deacon is a wonderful call of God. The office and ministry, like that of a pastor, should be one of honor, dignity, and meaning. Along with the pastor, the deacons care for the flock of God. In response to their servant leadership, the congregation is called to love, follow, encourage, and pray for those whom God has called to serve as deacons. Now, what are some quick applications we can make? First of all, pray for your deacons. Pray for your deacons. Now, there used to be a day and time that we actually had bulletins. We'll probably have those one day in the future. And in your bulletin, Missy always had a list of the deacons and their contact numbers and so forth. And you ought to pray for your deacons. Not only should you be praying for your pastor and the staff, but you should be praying for your deacons. I promise you, praying for your deacons will make them better deacons. So pray for your deacons. Also, pray before you vote for the two deacons to be selected this year. Pray. Don't just walk in here and look around and say, oh yeah. But pray. And think about what I've said this morning and how that ought to apply before you make your selection. And I will remind you that the HCBC policy is that divorced men cannot serve as deacons. So just remind you of that before you make your selections. But pray before you vote. Also, pray for the relationship between your next pastor and the deacons. You say, well, Brother Al, we don't know who our next pastor is going to be. No, we don't. God does. It's like having a child and the child is born and you're looking at her or him in the crib and you're already praying for their salvation. Or you have a child and you look at that child laying in the crib or you're rocking that child to sleep and you're already praying for that child's future spouse. And you don't know who that spouse is going to be. But you're sure praying for them that it'll be the right person. It'll be a person that helps them grow in the Lord. It will be a person that helps to nurture them. You pray that kind of prayer. You say, but you do it before you even have a name. You have a blank spot there. And so I would encourage you, pray for your next pastor and pray for his relationship with the deacons. And pray that it will be one that would honor God. Pray that it would be one that when people look around in the community, that they would speak well of that relationship because it honors God. And finally, live a life worthy of being selected as a deacon, even if you don't serve as a deacon. Live a life that would be worthy of being selected as a deacon. I've had at least two different times in my ministry, none of it was here. I've had two times when the top vote getters for the deacon selection, I didn't think were eligible to be serving as deacons. You say, well, Pastor, you're being judgmental. No, I'm just going to follow God's word. and follow basically the same things that I preached to you this morning. And I've taken another deacon with me, and I've gone to these two different situations, and I've sat down with them, and I told them, I want you to know that the people in this church respect you, and they voted you enough votes to serve as a deacon. And then I had to turn it a little bit. I did this graciously and said, but you know what? You and I both know you don't meet the qualifications. I say that very lovingly. I promise you, I did. I said, you know what would make my heart rejoice is to see the change in your life so that the next time you got voted in, I could come to you and say, would you please serve as a deacon? Because, see, I think all of us ought to live a life that would be worthy of being serving as a deacon. And if you're not, I promise you, if I have anything to do with it, we won't ask you. Okay? But I would say, live a life so that you're eligible to serve as a deacon. I had a church that at one point had female deacons. We won't go into that. I'm not trying to. I'm just saying they had. They did not when I was there. And I was teaching on a passage, and I knew I was coming up to deacons and qualifications as I was teaching a Bible study, and I went to see a lady that had previously served as a deacon. And I talked to her. And I said, Miss Francis, I just want you to know how much I respect you and love you. And this is coming. And I just don't want you to be blindsided about what I'm going to say. And she thanked me for coming. She said, we're going to disagree on it. I said, yes, ma'am, I figured that. I didn't figure I was going to change your mind. I didn't think there was anything that I was going to say that you hadn't already heard. When I preached my sermon later, she said it was the finest sermon she had ever heard on the deacon qualifications, even though she might not agree with me perfectly. But let me tell you something about that wonderful lady. She knew I was never going to let her serve as a deacon while I was pastor of church. She knew that. She loved me. She worked with me. There were times that I went out to make visits that she beat me there because she was doing the work of a deacon, even though she wasn't a deacon. There were other times that I was leaving a place and she would show up right behind me. Why? Because she was still doing the work of a deacon, even if she wasn't a deacon. Because, see, it wasn't the title that mattered. It was her calling on her life that mattered. And she lived the life that was worthy of being a deacon, even though she wasn't going to be a deacon. Because what she was a Christian sold out to the Lord. And that's how she was going to live out her life. And that's the way each one of us should live. You may say, I'm a divorced man. I'll never be a deacon here. I go, well, fine. Live like a deacon anyway. I'm a woman. I'll never be a deacon at Hell's Chapel. Fine. Live it out anyway. And if you're a man and you meet all the other qualifications, I hope one day you'll serve as a deacon because you live it out. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for the challenges of the Word. Father, I'm thankful for a church that takes this responsibility of selecting deacons seriously. Father, I'm thankful for the men who have served as deacons now, that have served in the past and will serve in the future. I pray that they would be found faithful living out what was proclaimed today. Father, I pray for the next pastor of this church. Father, I pray that You would be preparing him to come here to work with the deacons of this church, to be united with the deacons of this church, to seek to glorify You together with the deacons of this church. And Father, I just pray for that to happen. Father, I pray for all the members that are here, male, female, young, old, divorced, never divorced. Father, I pray that each one of us would seek to live a life that would be worthy of serving as a deacon, whether we ever serve or not. And Father, may we all remember that that first step of being prepared is to have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.